950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Joining us right now is Democrat of the Day, Senator Ann Rest, is a Senate District 45, soon to be 43. She's kind enough to join us today.
43.
Yeah, going to be 43. She's kind enough today to join us to talk about the last session and things coming up there. Senator, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Sure.
All right.
It's a pleasure to meet you and to talk with you.
Oh, it is absolutely a pleasure to chat with you as well. I mean, you've been over in the Senate there for the seventh term, right? You've been there for a while.
I've been there since 2001. Yes.
And you were in the House before that since 1984.
That's right. I've seen it all.
Well, I mean, that doesn't surprise me. And when I was looking at your committees that you're there, you're the ranking minority member on the taxes committee there. And that is one of those committees that you do definitely want to have the people that have been there a long time on board with there. Let's start there. When you went through this last session, what were some of the things? How do you feel things went there in the Senate with the Republicans in charge?
Well, I think in the tax bill, that there was actually a lot of give and take. The Republicans wanted 100% forgiveness of taxes on Social Security, and they wanted a rate cut on the lowest income folks, which both of those would also benefit wealthy Minnesotans. But then the House had a really great program on helping out renters. And I thought at the end that it was a good balance. And of course, we finished our bill and could have gotten it passed if we could have gotten it to the floor. Everything was agreed on. But then, of course, the session ended abruptly at midnight.
Yeah. Do you think there was one of the things I've said about the tax bill is that the Republicans, the question for Republicans, and I deal looking at them on the political side of things, is it more beneficial for them to try to pass this bill, or is it more beneficial for them to not pass this bill and then use that as a campaign talking point? Do you feel as if, was it really just tied up, or could they have gotten that passed? Do you think they could have gotten to the floor and gotten a vote on it?
I think we could have done that. I think it is a real mistake in political judgment to think that the taxpayers in Minnesota wanted us to play political games with their tax relief. I don't think anybody benefits by leaving those tax relief dollars out there and for all kinds of taxpayers and children and parents and child care. And for child care, nobody benefits from that. And we might not have as good a situation as we have now next January. And the opportunity will be lost. And I don't think it matters who's in the majority. We'll all be losers. And I think I don't think the Minnesota public should put up with that. I really don't.
When the Republicans introduced that bill, we actually had some analysis come on the air, and they said, oh, yeah, this is actually a really nice bill for wealthy Minnesotans. You're seeing this on the national level with Republicans, but now we're seeing it here as well on the statewide level. There seems to be much less of a worry about saying we're going to not really give the middle and lower class tax breaks. We're going to basically, in many cases, increase their taxes, especially if they're cutting social safety programs and stuff, the other social programs that the public needs. And in turn,
very good point.
And they're going to, in turn, basically have major tax breaks for the wealthy. It really does. When we looked at the analysis of that Republican bill, there was a lot of top-loaded stuff there that it was a pretty much another big tax handout to the wealthy.
And so why in the world would they want to hold off on bringing it back? I mean, the governor signed off on it. The leaders signed off on it. Hoping for, balance in some of the other bills, like public safety and health and human services and including transit in the transportation bill, which of course they the Republicans were very much opposed to, because they think that all the money, even from the new tax revenue, should go to roads and bridges. But of course, roads and bridges is only part of the story in the metropolitan area. And I think they were foolish in not grabbing at the chance for a special session to get their tax bill done. I mean, there are provisions in there for renters in particular that the House pushed that would particularly because people right now are experiencing evictions because they don't have the money to pay their rent. So any kind of renter's help would have been championed by the Democrats, I believe. And but, you know, you're absolutely right. The Republicans would have been bigger winners. But so why do they say no? What possibly more do they think they could get next year? Because I am 90% sure that our governor as of next November is going to be Tim Walz. It's not going to be that other guy.
No. Well, the thing is just funny, Senator, as you say that, is like, I think they are trying to take a gamble here, but A, I've seen the train wreck, which is their party right now. I've seen the train wreck, which is their candidates now, and I've taken a good long look at that redistricting map, and especially when it comes to the Senate, it's become a lot harder for the Republicans to win that Senate. And as a matter, I mean, we don't take any races for granted. We fight in every district.
Of course.
That's what you do. But there are more blue-leaning districts now than there were red-leaning districts. And so they need to pull some upsets to get the majority. I think this was just a bad game plan. Like I said, I think maybe this was an attempt to create a political talking point. Because you're right. This is, I mean, if the Democrats, DFL takes over the governor's house, the governor's mansion, the house, and the Senate, well, the tax bill's going to look a lot.
Game over.
Yeah, the tax
game
bill's
over.
Although it will be, let's be honest, Senator, it will be very interesting to hear Jeremy Miller scream about how we need to have a special session between the election and the new Senate takes over to pass that tax bill.
Oh, right. And I wonder how deaf the ears will be on that plea.
Exactly. Senator Ann Rest joining us, Democrat of the day. No, you bring up a lot of interesting points as well in regards to just the way they negotiate. And the tax bill itself has become kind of, you know, this is, I like what Speaker Hortman does in the House. And she says the tax bill gets the last vote because we know you want that tax bill. And it's still, though, it's kind of one of those things where you look at what the education bill was. I mean, it was garbage. It was an absolute garbage Senate education bill. There was no funding for education. There just seemed to be a disingenuous level of negotiation from the get-go on certain things when it came to the Republicans in the Senate.
Well, I think they're just tone deaf with regard to the needs of Minnesota's children in our schools after all they've gone through. And now at the end of the school year, it's children all over the country that are asking about Uvalde, Texas. Mm-hmm. And why does somebody kill 10-year-olds? And do I have to go to school anymore? That's happening. Those kinds of questions and that kind of uncertainty is happening everywhere. And Minnesota is not exempt from those kinds of questions and from our children. And the education bill in the Senate, it had a good program in it, but it had this one little paltry program in it for literacy when there are so many other needs that could have been answered as well. Not instead of, but as well. And they chose to ignore those. And it's just unconscionable.
You've been there a long time, and it has really become somewhat disturbing the way that the Republicans, when they're in leadership, whether that was when Kurt Dowd was the Speaker in the House or as we are currently with the Senate, it is really disturbing what the Republicans feel is if the body operates, is that if they've got a one-seat majority, that it's their laws, their way, you sit down, you shut up. Can you talk at all about this, the disrespect as a long-serving senator? You've served your district in many years as a House member, as a senator. You've been there for a long time. Can you talk at all a little bit about the level of disrespect that you guys receive from the Republican majority?
Well, it is very disquieting because many of us have very good personal relationships with members across the aisle, but institutionally, the Republicans in these last few years have just refused to hear a number of ideas and bills coming from Democrats. And in some committees, they don't hear any Democratic bills at all. And it just doesn't make any sense that the only people who have ideas worth listening to are on the Republican side of the aisle. And that's kind of an institutional respect rather than a one-on-one respect.
Mm-hmm.
And it varies from committee to committee, by the way, and by personality to personality. But institutionally, that level of disrespect is very real.
And it's not just the disrespect for the DFL. It's also a disrespect for the people of Minnesota, because once again, they don't have a lot of public hearings on anything. And they like to do a lot of their stuff behind closed doors. And I think that's not how government's supposed to work. They talk about transparency and things there, but they themselves are the masters of hiding and throwing a bill out at the 11th hour and saying, we got to vote on this now with you having 10 minutes to review it.
Well, I think you're really correct on that, and we do. That's part of maybe a recession, but it's gotten so much worse in the last few years with the Republicans in charge that institutionally they seem to have no interest in ideas other than their own or letting ideas that are different from their own get an airing in the public. And that's particularly true with public safety issues. And and gun issues and gun safety issues. And that's really disappointing. And as far as I'm concerned, the people of Minnesota ought to let them know that when they go to the ballot box.
Your district, it didn't change a much. It changed its number. You lost a little bit in kind of, I think it's the northwest side of the district, but you pick up some. It's basically, it's Golden Valley, Robbinsdale, Crystal, New Hope, and a little bit of Plymouth. Is that correct?
And a little bit of Plymouth. That's exactly right. What we gained all of Golden Valley, and then changed a little bit of Plymouth that we had. But what was really mystifying, quite frankly, on Tuesday when the filings closed, is that for the first time that I can ever remember, and I have lived in New Hope for years and years and years, there are no Republican opponents, either for our House members, Representatives Freiberg and Frazier, and for me. I have a legal marijuana party candidate, but the Republican Party was totally absent in filing candidates to run in a suburban district where they have routinely polled at least 40% or 45% of the vote, and I can't believe that they just took their marbles and went home and just ignored the whole election.
Well, I think we can make an official call on 43 at this point. It's a little early for November, but I think I'm ready to make that call on that race.
Well, thanks.
Congratulations, Senator. But, all right, make that joke aside, but this is what we've seen. I was Jim Rhodes. Jim Rhodes used to be my House rep. He was a Republican in Hopkins, St. Louis Park.
Right.
And Steve That's Simon right. was then my House rep. He came in after that, and of course, he was fantastic and stuff. but Republicans used to run here. I see it in my district. I'm down with Cheryl Youakim and Ron Latz. I see it in my district, too. Neither one of them.
Neither Cheryl nor Senator Latz have a Republican opponent either.
Yeah, and only
they have no opponent.
15 years ago, some of these seats actually had Republicans in them. Doing is they're taking every dime they've got and they're looking at, you know, they're looking at Stillwater, they're looking at, you know, Maple Grove, they're looking at the North Metro, they're looking at Lake Minnetonka. They are basically picking and choosing, and they're going to throw every dollar in there because they've got to start, as I mentioned kind of earlier, they've got to pull off some upsets in districts which now lean blue for them to maintain the majority. And I don't know where they're going to do it, but that's clearly what it is. And the downside is we have a large swath of the metro area where there isn't a Republican running.
And you know, the people of Minnesota should be disappointed in that.
Yes.
That there can't, there needs to be every election. There needs to be that conversation about goals, that conversation about values. And if the other guys don't show up, there's no conversation. And people have a right to be very, very disappointed in the Republicans for not putting up candidates all over the metro area. And of course, people say, well, you know, you got off easy. You don't have an opponent or you don't have a serious one or a minor party candidate. But that's not the way that democracy thrives. It just is not. It has to be a conversation of ideas and of values and of goals and what we really want and how we're going to achieve it for our constituents and for the rest of the people in Minnesota. And when there's no one to talk with or to argue with or debate, then the public loses.
Absolutely. And it does, too, is create dead zones where Republicans do not care. I brought this point up, and we're running out of time, but I brought up this point. Back in 2009, a tornado hit Minneapolis, hit the electric fetus on the south side of town, went over the downtown and plowed into North Minneapolis. And Republicans refused to give North Minneapolis tornado aid. Now, those same Republicans, there are still Republicans from that time in that house in St. Paul right now. They've already made call. We need help. This is the problem, is that it should not come down to large swaths of the state where one half of the political parties in the state that represent us ignore them and don't care about those areas. But that's what's happening. And that's a disservice to all of us.
It certainly is. You're absolutely right.
Ann Rest is the senator from 45. She's soon going to be Senate District 43. You don't really have a major competition here, but obviously if people want to find out more about you and find out about your campaign, maybe help you with some signs or anything like that, what's the website they should head to?
It's AnnRest for the number four, four men, .com.
AnnRest, the number four, MN.com. And there you go. We'll link to everything a little bit later on. Senator, great work there in the Senate. Let's hopefully get you a majority here, and let's see what we really can get done in this state. I hope all the best for you as we get ready for the next session.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. My absolute pleasure. Senator Ann Rest, kind enough to join us. Senate District 45, soon to be 43. We'll take a break, wrap up the show when we do return. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.